Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see Georgia Southern.
The play is known simply as the run. Peterson took a handoff up the middle, broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage, spins away from the next defender he meets, and he shakes off a diving tackler. 30 yards down the field, he meets another defender and literally throws him out of the way with his right arm, grabs him by the shoulder pad, and swipes him off onto the sideline. It was really so surreal because the place is going completely berserk during the run until he throws off that defender. He throws off that defender, the whole place went silent, stone silent, like an intake of breath. It was just so amazing. Nobody had ever seen it before. And then, of course, the place exploded again after they all caught their breath.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit SavannahNow.com/sports and click on tickets.
Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
All right, welcome to another episode of Georgia Southern Extra. I'm Travis Jordan, the beat writer for Georgia Southern Football and Athletics at the Savannah Morning News. We're joined today by Greg Talbot, as always. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. Happy pre-Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys listening. We are thankful for your listening every week, and hopefully we don't disappoint any week, but especially this week. So let's jump right into our four downs, and then we'll review the Coastal Carolina game, and then we'll preview Georgia State and kind of what that means for Georgia Southern in the grand scheme of things and where the Georgia State rivalry ranks as Greg and I see it. And then before we close out, we'll touch on what November 24th, this Saturday, will be a special anniversary for the Georgia Southern program. We'll tell you more about that and then jump into possible bowl destinations for Georgia Southern after the Georgia State game. So we'll start with our four downs, and I'll go first. And my first down, Greg, is not really a take, a hot take per se, but it's something that I kind of wanted to not have to discuss the rest of the podcast, the rest of this episode. And I wanted to get it out of the way early on, and that's the either dismissal or departure of freshman slot receiver Devarius Bargnier. Who was on the Georgia Southern football roster Saturday evening while Georgia Southern was playing Coastal Carolina. And by the time I arrived back in Savannah on Sunday from Myrtle Beach or Conway, Bargnier was no longer on the roster. And, you know, I kind of stumbled across it because I was wondering why, you know, when looking at Wes Kennedy's game against Coastal Carolina, I was kind of wondering why Bargnier never played. He never played a snap. And so, you know, asked around, looked into some things and found out that he wasn't even traveling. Bargnier wasn't with the team. And so, you know, you kind of knew something was up Saturday night, but maybe not that he was going to be dismissed from the program. And Greg, again, that's not really a take, but, you know, I'll let you decide if there's anything you want to say about that. If not, we'll jump right into your second down.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame because Devarius looked pretty good. We didn't see a whole lot of him. I think he probably finished the season with six catches. But
yeah,
when he took over for Kennedy as the slot receiver, you know, I mean, he made plays. He had good hands. He had good speed. He was able to motion into the backfield and fake out defenses. He looked like he had some promise. And the fact that he's gone, I don't know the exact reasoning Brian Johnson, the sports information director, gave you on the record. Maybe you could share that a little bit later. I think it's kind of a bummer that he's gone because I thought he showed some real promise to take over the slot position next year when we all assume that it's going to be a combination of Wesley Kennedy, Logan Wright, and LaRoche sharing the carries at running back. Did you get an official explanation from the program?
Yeah, so when I asked Brian about it on Sunday, he just said that Devarius is no longer with the team. And so I waited till Monday morning during the Sunbelt Conference coaches teleconference with Chad Lunsford, and it was the first question I asked him was just if he could provide some clarity on that situation. And he said that it was a mutual decision between the two, and they just wanted Devarius to be happy wherever he landed, and, you know, kind of took a diplomatic approach to answering it. But, you know, so we don't really know whose idea it was, but, you know, Lunsford did say that all they, you know, they want Devarius to be happy wherever he lands next. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best, but, you know, eventually maybe the whole story will come out, but right now it's just a mutual decision.
Okay. Fair enough. My second down is that Georgia Southern showed real ability under stress and under scrutiny to bounce back. And there was part of me, and I think I had shared this either on the podcast last week, Travis, or just talking with you in the press box or something during a game. I thought after they played Troy, there was a real chance that the season was going to snowball either way. I said, so they lost to ULM, and I said, if they lose to Troy, I think they might lose one more. Thankfully, God, they did not. I thought there was a real chance after they lost to ULM and after they lost to Troy that they would lose the next game. And after the first quarter, it looked like it was headed that way. But mid-game adjustments, potential to bounce back, Southern showed they were the better team. The coaches made the adjustments they needed to. Southern came out after the first quarter, and they played like the team we knew they were. I wasn't there in Conway on Saturday. You were. Was there part of you in the first quarter on Saturday that you were like, oh, no, maybe this is a snowball?
Yeah. After the first drive of Coastal Carolina's, I was thinking, you know, I thought the whole time Georgia Southern was going to win. I never felt, you know, that feeling that I definitely did feel during the ULM game and Troy. But after the first drive, I was thinking, you know, clearly there's no juice. And I think I even tweeted it, hashtag juiceless, because it was kind of just a blah atmosphere, just real plain and vanilla at Coastal Carolina. And they went on, the Chanticleers did, they went on a 15-play, 75-yard drive to open things up. And I was thinking to myself, man, this has the potential to get really, really sticky early, but luckily Georgia Southern bounced back.
Yeah, and playing from behind against the Sun Belt teams is not something Southern has traditionally had great luck with, just because of the offense they run. But their ability to bounce back on the road in basically a neutral site environment, I thought was really impressive and indicative of the fact that I think this team has grown up a lot in the last 2 months.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. Well, and actually, we're going to touch on this later, but let's go ahead and just throw this out there. The opening drive for Coastal, Greg, that we just talked about was kind of you know, something that I thought I had seen a lot. So I kind of went back and looked at the 11 games that Georgia Southern has played and the first drive for the opponents as opposed to the first drive for Georgia Southern. And I know that me and you have touched on this before, but I don't know if I knew how bad it actually was. So listen to this. Georgia Southern in 11 possessions, 11 first drives of the year, Georgia Southern has more punts, 7, than they do points, 6.
Wow.
Opponents, on the other hand, in 11 drives, have only had to punt 3 times against Georgia Southern, and they've scored 27 points, including scoring in 4 of the last 5 games against Georgia Southern on the first drive of the game. So that's not good, because that's scripted plays. We know that the teams run scripted plays to start games, and that means those things are working to perfection against the Georgia Southern defense, and vice versa, or the opposite, I should say, when Georgia Southern has the ball. So that's something that really hasn't crushed them all year, but definitely something to keep an eye on. That's more than a trend, I think, at this point.
What's your third down? Go ahead.
All right. So my third down is that the future of the running back room at Georgia Southern is super bright. And kind of just to piggyback off of what you said earlier, Greg, Logan Wright, one of the guys that's really going to be probably the workhorse going into next year, his 59-yard burst late in the third quarter kind of sealed the game for Georgia Southern. We also got to see Grant Walker, a redshirt freshman, get in there, as well as Matt LaRoche on Saturday in Conway. So it was just really nice to see kind of Georgia Southern benefit from putting a team away a little earlier. That way you can get guys like that into the game. Actually, we asked Wesley Fields about this after the game, and it was interesting what he had to say. I want to give you guys a chance to listen to it. So we asked him what he thought about kind of the guys behind him and Monteo Garrett, And Wesley Fields had this to say after Saturday's game.
The future is bright, I can tell you that. And so, and it definitely helps and definitely takes the load off for everybody. And it just to know that we got multiple threats on the field, man, it's crazy when everybody get a toast and everybody just exploding like that every time. It's hard to stop that.
So you hear Wes Fields there talking about how the running back room and really the future at Georgia Southern in the running game is bright. And if anyone would know about that, it's Wes Fields. So that's something that I took away from that game, Greg, on Saturday, just kind of what the future holds for Georgia Southern. It was nice to get a look at those guys.
No, and what I liked is that they pretty much all showed the ability to break plays all year, whether it was in the UMass game or the South Carolina State game or the Coastal Carolina game. We've been seeing LaRoche and Wright get good carries the last couple of games, and that's been encouraging to see. If it is those three sharing the future of the backfield, I'm still a little unclear about the future plans for Wes Kennedy.
Yeah, you and me both. You and me both. I don't know. I mean, I'm never going to be sold on Wes Kennedy as a pure running back because it just doesn't.
He's too good in the slot.
Well, it doesn't make sense. There's not a need. You know what I mean? It'd be different if three guys had gone down at running back and you had to use his versatility to move him.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we've talked about that enough, I think. But yeah, I'm not sold on Wes Kennedy ever being a full-time running back. So what do you got for fourth down?
That group of three young guys looks really good. I hope they think about moving Kennedy back to the slot or out to a true wide receiver spotter, or at least something for next year.
Yeah.
Okay. My fourth down is that this season, I think is saved. It was going to be a good season anyway after bowl eligibility. I was worried, like I said, they were going to lose to Coastal Carolina after they lost to ULM and Troy. And I think they're going to beat Georgia State now that they've bounced back and beaten Coastal in comeback fashion that showed them they can do it. I think if Southern had lost one more game after that Troy game, there would have been a real sour taste in people's mouths. I think they can still, as long as they beat State on Saturday, and I think they will, they've opened up as 12-point favorites. Mm-hmm. I really think that there's not going to be much of a sour taste in people's mouths at the end of this year. I think people can feel happy about winning out after losing to Troy, and I think there's going to be a much more positive feeling at the end of this season because of what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we'll talk in depth about the Georgia State game in just a little bit, or give you guys our predictions, but I think that regardless of the outcome, you know, well, if they lose to Georgia State, if Georgia Southern loses to Georgia State, it's not going to feel. I don't see them losing, but if they did, the season would still be a success. But I can understand for, you know, at least the next week, 2 weeks for some fans, maybe 3 weeks. But when you get in the middle of the summer and you start getting into February, March, April, I think fans will be able to look at the season, no matter what, from here on out, as a success. And so I'm with you on that for sure. Let's jump into review the Coastal Carolina game just real quickly, because we do want to talk a lot about the Georgia State game and then potential bowl games. Georgia Southern 41-17 final. Georgia Southern rushed for 409 yards. That's the second most in the Sun Belt Conference this year, behind App State's performance earlier in the year. Georgia Southern as a program since 2014 when moving to the FBS is now 14-0 since when rushing for 400 or more yards. They held Coastal Carolina to 74 rushing yards, and Georgia Southern outgained Coastal 442-189, which is pretty incredible. That's a pretty incredible number and differential, really. Wes Fields was really big in the game, 20 carries, 148 yards, 2 TDs. He now is 11th all-time on the Georgia Southern rushing list. 23 career touchdowns, 2,720 total career yards for Wes Fields. Greg, did you see, and you know, to go along with Fields, Wes Kennedy had 10 total touches, 8 rushes for 59 yards, 2 receptions for 9 yards, touched the ball twice on the opening drive, including the first play of the game. Greg, do you think Wes Kennedy touching the ball, you know, he had 59 yards, that's not anything to write home about, but all those touches and those carries, do you think it had any effect on Wes Fields having such a successful game, especially on those dive plays?
You know, I hadn't quite thought about it that way, but I think anytime you can diversify the offense. I tend to think that's actually when Bob DeBest's offense has the most success, when the defense has to worry about Darian Anderson downfield and has to worry about where Kennedy is in motioning. That opens up the dive for Fields. That opens up an option along the outside for Montaeo Garrett to break one for 10 or 15. I think regardless of who's got the ball, the more guys the defense has to keep their eyes on, the better it ends up for Southern.
Yeah, I agree. And Georgia Southern's offense was definitely diverse against Coastal Carolina. We even, Greg, saw a screen pass early in the game for Georgia Southern, which I was super happy to see. I've been waiting for one of those all year. We've seen the quick outs to the receivers before, but a true screen pass to a running back was a first. And you know, I think it only went for 1 yard, but it was one broken tackle away from being a pretty long touchdown. So I agree. The diversity was there, and they were quicker out of the huddle. Just all the things that I kind of wanted to see, and I'm sure Chad Lunsford wanted to see on Saturday, we saw, and Georgia Southern fans saw. Let's see, anything else from Coastal we want to touch on? I thought Shai Wirtz was really good again against Coastal. He, you know, another game where the stats aren't really going to jump out off the page at you, but there were three or four times when Shai Wirtz could have been sacked, and instead he got rid of the ball. And, you know, as I've done all year, I'm going to, if, you know, against Troy and against, especially against ULM, I thought Wirtz uncharacteristically held on to the ball, and he was sacked a few times because of it. And so he did not do that on Saturday, and it allowed drives to continue for Georgia Southern. It kept them from falling behind the chains, and that's all you can ask for from Wirtz, and that's all we have asked for from Wirtz. And, you know, besides him, I think another maybe unheralded group they really played well was Chris Harris and Tamarcia Reese in the middle. Greg, we've talked a lot about the linebackers, the Georgia Southern linebackers, and their, you know, struggles with the RPO and the pass across the middle. And that's not just on the linebackers, but I thought on Saturday, Harris and Reese especially were able to go sideline to sideline and tackle some of those quicker receivers for the Chanticleers. And it lasted four quarters. Chris Harris and Reese did. I think Harris was the leading tackler for Georgia Southern. And in the second half especially, Georgia Southern was really good. Really after the first two drives, Greg, 189 total yards for Coastal, 132, which is 69%. Nice. 132 nice. Of those were on the first two drives of the game. So 132 out of 189 came in the first two drives. And then, you know, your guy, the offensive guru, Jamie Chadwell, was shut down for the most part after that. What did you think of
the way Georgia... Yeah, he was. He sure was.
What did you think of the way that the defense played, Greg? Was it more Coastal not really having a world of talent, or was it Georgia Southern playing really well, you think?
Well, I think part of it is that Coastal hasn't had a decent, solid quarterback all year, and that makes it hard to run offense against defense with any talent, which Georgia Southern has. I thought we were going to see Chadwell scheme it up a little bit more, but more than that, I think it seemed to me that after the first quarter, there were some defensive adjustments made, but more importantly, it seemed like the defense just kind of figured out what Chadwell was trying to do, and it was really just kind of the players that shut it down. I didn't see any crazy defenses out there for Southern. I think they just played really strong assignment football, and I think the players just, it sounds so damn simple, the players just made the plays and made the tackles they were supposed to make and made the reads they were supposed to read, and Southern just had more talent than Coastal was able to scheme up.
No, it does sound simple, Greg, but I'm 100% in agreement with you, and I've talked about it before. Sometimes we make football and sports in general too difficult, and we try to analyze it too far. Sometimes it's tackle, blocking, catching, and throwing, and it's that simple. And the tackling for Georgia Southern has been way better the last 2 weeks than it was against ULM, and really against App State it wasn't great either. The tackling is by far the biggest key for Georgia Southern, because they allow guys to catch things in front of them really by plan. And if you're going to allow guys to catch short passes in the passing game, you had better be able to tackle them after they catch it. So, Greg, before we move on to Georgia State, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on from Coastal Carolina before we move on to the Panthers?
I'm just really happy that that they were able to keep the season from snowballing. I think it would have been a really sour taste if Coastal had come away with that game, and the fact that Southern was able to finish them off after bouncing back in the first quarter. I think that everyone associated with this program should be awfully proud, and I think they saved themselves from a sour offseason.
Yeah, I agree.
Our sponsor, Reed, is for the SavannahNow.com podcast network. Our podcasts include The Commute and Difference Makers, both of which are produced by our op-ed page team, as well as the Georgia Southern Extra Football podcast and the Do Savannah Entertainment podcast. Visit SavannahNow.com and DoSavannah.com to download any of these podcasts or search for them by name through the podcast app on your mobile device. Once you locate the podcast through the search, you can subscribe for free and new episodes will be pushed to you automatically. Check out the SavannahNow.com podcast today.
All right, so let's jump into Georgia State. You guys are all familiar with this team up in Atlanta. You know them well, and for the last 3 years, you've known them as a team that's beat Georgia Southern. The last time Georgia Southern won was actually in Atlanta in 2014, when Georgia Southern won 69-31 in Atlanta in their first year in the FBS, first year in the Sun Belt. And before we get into X's and O's, I have to say one thing, Greg, just to clear it up, because it annoys me to no end to see, especially all over Twitter, that the abbreviation for Georgia State is GSU. Okay. The abbreviation for Georgia Southern is GS. So right now, if you're listening to this and your Twitter handle still has GSU boy 99 or something like that, get rid of the U, because if I'm going to look at a meme or a troll of Georgia State from a Georgia Southern fan, and said Georgia Southern fan has GSU in their handle, you know, that's tough for me to accept, because what you're doing is repping the team that you're trying to troll. So right now, let this be an announcement for everyone. Please, 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 for my sake, know that Georgia Southern's abbreviation is GS. Georgia State's is GSU. So got that out of the way, Greg. I've been wanting to say that all year.
Let them know, Travis. Say it louder for people in the back.
And yeah, so now that we got the really, really important thing out of the way, let's jump into some X's and O's for Georgia State. Greg, the thing for me that sticks out about this game, especially where it comes on the schedule and where it finds both teams at, you know, completely different points in their season. Georgia State obviously not had a great year. I think they've lost 6 in a row. They're 2-9 and 1-6 in the Sun Belt. Obviously nothing to play for, really, for Georgia State. So what worries me about games like this is you could see a bunch of trickery. You could see all the stops being pulled out. I'm assuming any kind of fourth down that's remotely close and not back in their own territory, that Georgia State would pull the trigger and go for it. Saturday in Atlanta, and it's senior day, so we know that those seniors are going to want to leave Georgia State having beat Georgia Southern 4 years in a row. And for them personnel-wise, for the Panthers personnel-wise, Greg, we know all about wide receiver Penny Hart, right? Junior at 48 receptions, 660 yards, and 2 TDs this year. Just really a do-it-all guy that's going to get, I think, and I'm not alone on this, I think drafted really high when he does come out, which I expect to be after this year. I expect him to declare 1 year early. So Hart's going to be a guy that's probably going to get his. Greg, I don't know if you would agree with this. He's probably going to get his no matter what. I think if you're Georgia Southern, you want to make sure that no unsung guy, no unheralded guy, no guy that we've never heard of has a career day against your defense, and then I think you'll be just fine if you do that. Quarterback Dan Ellington, also a junior, 145 for 259 this year for 1,949 yards. Does have a good touchdown to interception ratio with 10 to 4 and is a capable quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't put him in the top tier of Sun Belt quarterbacks. I don't know if I'd even put him in the top five, but he's capable. And I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to turn the ball over a lot and cost Georgia State a game. Greg, what do you see in this game matchup-wise that either you think is going to give Georgia Southern a big advantage, disadvantage, or, you know, where will the game be decided in your mind?
Well, first off, the last I looked, it's Southern minus 12. Is that still the most recent line?
Yeah, I saw one that said 11, but yeah, it's right there between 11 and 12 right now with an over-under of 58.
Yeah, what I think is actually, well, I'm not sure I would take 58, but I might take Southern minus 12, because here's the thing. I think Southern, if they have a lead, they're not going to stop. I think they're going to want to score as much as they can and put their foot on their throat and choke them out and get some revenge for the last 3 years.
I agree.
The way the players talked about it in the press conference this week, the way Chad Lunsford talked about it, it's less that they're like rivals and more that they're pissed off that they haven't won this game the last three tries. And not only do I think they want to win, I think they want to win by a pretty substantial margin.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me right into what I wanted to talk about next, Greg, how this game kind of compares to another Georgia Southern rival and really the Georgia Southern rival, App State. Last night on the Chad Lunsford Coaches Show, put on by Danny Reed and the Georgia Southern Sports Network, they asked two players. It was Kendrick Duncan and Kendall Vildor on last night. Monday night. They asked them, Kendrick Duncan and Kendall Vildor, kind of how they would compare Georgia State to App State. And both of those guys are from the Atlanta area. And I forget which one said it, but they basically said that App State was the old school rival and kind of the one with all the tradition, plenty of rich history apart from Georgia Southern. So obviously we know App State, their program could stand on its own. They, you know, they don't need Georgia Southern to be their rival in order to have, you know, relevance. It seems like from what I'm hearing and what I'm reading, that the people around the Georgia Southern program and especially the players that have been there for the last couple of years kind of see Georgia State as this new school rival that shouldn't be. And they acknowledge that they've beat them the last 3 years, Georgia State has, but it's kind of like they think that Georgia Southern players think that someone that doesn't belong on the same level as them is suddenly on the same level as them. And it just has a different feel, Greg, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but leading up to the App State game, how often did we hear, yeah, this game is different. This is different. This is different. We're going to own it and call it for what it is and blah, blah, blah. Well, this week when you ask them, it's, yeah, they acknowledge that it's a rival, but Lunsford said a few times already this week that, you know, they'll get in trouble if they start trying to make it more than what it is. And, you know, it's just next game, that's why it's the most important and all that kind of coach speak, which we don't usually hear from Lunsford. So I don't know what your kind of take is on maybe the verbiage that I'm hearing this week about the Georgia State game. And if you had any kind of thoughts on that.
I was really surprised in the press conference because if not the players, who usually tend to be more reserved,
right.
Chad takes it upon himself to be the one offering up interest and content in the press conference. That's clearly what they decide to do because Chad's the best that way. I was really surprised that like this was the one big game this year where Chad wasn't out there offering up interesting quotes and talking about how they want to beat him to a pulp.
Yeah.
And they were minimizing the way they talked about this game. And I still can't figure out why. I think you're partly right that they're mad that this is a school that shouldn't really be on par with them, that has been on par with them or better than them.
Yeah.
The last, I think Southern views this as almost a begrudging rivalry, and that they think in the good times, this shouldn't even be a game that matters.
And I'm with them. It shouldn't be. But it's not even up for debate. The last 3 years, Georgia State has been a better football program than Georgia Southern. I mean, that's not even really up for debate, especially how this game has gone. And if Georgia Southern didn't take it as serious as they did the App State game for the last 3 years, I can understand that. But those days are over, really. I mean, you had better be taking this game as serious, if not more serious, than the App State game, because Georgia State is, and we'll hear from a quote from their coach in just a minute, but Georgia State is locked in on this one. It seems like, I mean, I don't think they're a very good football team, Georgia State. I don't think they have a lot of
good
players.
No, but they get to play spoiler, and there's no better time to do that when you're playing someone you hate.
Exactly. If you're going to play a rival that's not nearly as good as you, when's the worst time to do that? Probably the last game of the year when the other team has nothing to lose and they're 2-9.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan. I grew up in the Bay Area, and the great joy of a couple of the last years is even when the Giants suck, we get to knock the Dodgers out of their first playoff seed and then screw them on the final week of the season. It feels great even when the Giants are in fourth place. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and it's equal to each other the way that Georgia Southern has felt the last 3 years about losing to Georgia State, that Georgia State team, those Georgia State teams have been equally as ecstatic, I can imagine. So the last thing that Georgia Southern fans want to have to do is look at Georgia State fans and Georgia State alumni and administrators talking about 4-0, 4-0, or 4-in-a-row, 4-in-a-row for the next 365 days. So plenty is on the line for Georgia Southern as far as righting some wrongs in their eyes. That's the way I'll term it, I guess. For me, Georgia Southern should have plenty of success running the ball in this game. When you look at the numbers, I mean, I don't see any way that Georgia State is going to stop the run. And of course, now that I say that out loud, Georgia Southern will probably rush for 5 yards in the game. But here's some numbers that I think are pretty telling and, you know, maybe a bit of foreshadowing. Georgia Southern is number 21 in the country, averaging 5.2 yards per rush. Georgia State defensively, meanwhile, is number 128 in the country, averaging giving up 7 yards a rush. So there's only 130 teams, and Georgia State comes in ranked 128 in yards per rush allowed. Yards per game rushing, Georgia Southern comes in number 8 in the country, 259.5. And Georgia State comes in 122, averaging, allowing 255 rushing yards per game. So, Greg, if Georgia Southern cannot run the ball against Georgia State, they will basically be the only team all year who did not have success running the ball against Georgia State. So
I don't see that happening. I don't think that's where this game is going to be won and lost. I think if State's going to stay in, and it's going to be them trying to gash the Southern secondary like ULM and Troy did.
Yeah, I agree. And that's another thing, that Georgia Southern is the slowest paced team in the country offensively. That's not really a huge surprise. They're 130 out of 130 at 60 plays a game. Georgia State wants to run around 70 to 75 plays per game. So that's something Georgia Southern struggled with in the past. Now, 70 plays a game is not lightning quick, but it's certainly quicker than Georgia Southern's pace. And so defensively, Georgia Southern's going to have to, you know, adapt on the fly and really probably go with the same personnel for 3, 4, or 5 plays in a row sometimes against Georgia State. So, another key in the game, I think. And then finally, Greg, for me, I think it's a game where Shy Wirtz can really have some say-so over this game in the passing department. He, as we know, is the most efficient passer in the Sun Belt. Georgia State secondary is the least efficient secondary against the pass in the Sun Belt. So that's another thing.
What you're saying is minus 12 is looking pretty good.
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's almost free money if people want to take that game.
Well, not to give advice, but if you are
entertainment purposes only,
yes, if you are trying to entertain yourself in that regard in this game, entertainment purposes only. I would wait until close to game time, because I can imagine that line would come down towards Georgia State's favor a little bit. But it also could go the other way. So what do I know? Greg, anything else you want to touch on for Georgia State and kind of where the game might be won or lost before we jump into the bowls and then head on out?
No, I really do think it's going to be the Southern secondary. If they can shut down everyone besides Hart, they're going to be okay. This game smells to me like 34-21 Southern.
No way. Is that really your prediction?
That seems a little high, doesn't it?
Well, mine is 34-23, so you got to change yours, man.
Oh, so it was just too close to yours.
Yeah, too close to mine. I
thought that there was something you saw that I didn't see.
No, I
think 34-21 sounds exactly right. I think it's 4 touchdowns and 2 field goals for Southern and 3 touchdowns for State.
Yeah, and for those keeping up with the math, that is an 11-point margin for me and a 13-point margin for Greg. So we straddle the line perfectly without even knowing.
Look at us.
We're getting better just in time for the finale.
We can play Get the Line.
One more thing I did want to say before we go into the bowl games. If you thought that Georgia State doesn't know their record against Georgia Southern over the last 4 years, think again.
They do.
Monday, Georgia State coach Sean Elliott, who's in his second year, Greg, so he's a whopping 1-0 against Georgia Southern, but sounds to me like he'll take credit for all 3 wins against Georgia Southern. Here's what Sean Elliott had to say about Georgia Southern and Georgia State's beating them the last 3 years. Listen to this.
You know, we've been fortunate enough to win 3 straight against those guys, and it's a pride thing for us, and we wear it well, and these players are excited about playing that team down south, and I think it is. I think it is because, you know, Georgia Southern has a long tradition, and, you know, before I got here, they looked down upon Georgia State and probably still do. Almost to the point where they don't think that we should be competing like we do against them. But it's for certain gotten their attention, and it looks to be a great contest, and for bragging rights around the state.
So that's Georgia State head coach Sean Elliott on the Monday conference teleconference. We wear it well. I thought it sounded awesome. Let's jump in, Greg, to a few bowl scenarios I want to run through quickly. Just the order of the bowls, the date, and the times that there'll be 5 Sun Belt bowl games. Okay, 7 Sun Belt eligible teams to be picked from a bowl. I'm willing to stake almost my life on Georgia Southern being picked for a bowl game, especially
if they have a fan base that travels and that's a team people across the country recognize and would watch on TV more quickly than they would watch UL Monroe.
Exactly. And you know, the only other team that can get bowl eligible in the Sun Belt is Coastal. And after having been to Conway on Saturday, and if you watch it on TV, you know, you see it.
No one there.
Coastal can't get fans to come to their home games. So yeah. I don't know that a bowl game is going to even consider taking a team like Coastal over Georgia Southern. But, you know, I guess it is possible. But I would not, you know, say it's likely or even, you know, remotely likely. All right, let's jump in real quick. R&L Carriers, New Orleans Bowl. They have the first. Well, I should say.
Unfortunately, not going to happen.
Right, yeah, that's going to the conference champ versus the conference USA champ. But I wanted to say real quick, Greg, I don't know if people know this, the order of the bowl games, as far as like chronological order, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, after the New Orleans Bowl, the best will come last, if that makes sense. And I think a lot of people think that if you're the first bowl of bowl season, that's the worst, quote unquote, worst bowl. And then the national championship game, obviously, is the last game of the year. That's the best. That's not really how it works. How it works is that there's 5 contracted bowls with the Sun Belt. The New Orleans Bowl has made their pick. They'll take the Sun Belt champ and the Conference USA champ. Okay, so that's done. So you got 4 bowls left. They'll go in order, and I'll tell you the order in just a second. They'll go in order, and the first bowl will pick their team. Okay, now that doesn't mean they'll take the second best team in the Sun Belt. It might be geographical. They might take a team that's right next door to them because they think that more fans will come to the bowl game. Could be any number of reasons. Maybe the network likes this team better than that team. Could be any number of reasons. But the point is, the second bowl gets to pick second. Third bowl picks third. Fourth bowl picks fourth, and so on. So Georgia Southern coming in second, third, or fourth in the conference doesn't necessarily put them at second, third, or fourth bowl game. So lot to say, but that I wanted to say that kind of because I don't know if I was clear about that last time we talked about the bowls. The second bowl game to select a Sun Belt team will be the Dollar General Bowl. That's in Mobile, Alabama versus the MAC. That's on December 22nd at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Third selection will be the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. That's Montgomery, Alabama versus the MAC on December 15th, 5:30 on ESPN. The fourth bowl to select, and honestly, the bowl I'm kind of hoping Georgia Southern gets picked for is the Otter Nation Cure Bowl. That's in Orlando, Florida, versus the American Athletic Conference, what a lot of people know as the former Big East. December 15th, 2:30, CBS Sports Network. And finally, the fifth bowl to select, I think really a long shot for Georgia Southern to go to this one, is the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. That will be versus the Mountain West, which I think houses Boise State and maybe Utah. And
that is not Utah. It's got Utah State, Boise State, Nevada, Fresno State. I mean, it'd be fun to play Mountain West team. I'd like that.
I think so too, but I can't imagine, unless Georgia Southern gets bypassed on this front four, I can't imagine that the Arizona Bowl would want to send a team from Statesboro to Arizona. But, you know, that could be possible. I think the Orlando Bowl or the Cure Bowl in Orlando would be really a huge kind of slate for Georgia Southern. I mean, it's 2:30 on CBS Sports Network, so it's not, you know, prime time or anything like that. But honestly, selfishly, Greg, if I'm going to cover the bowl game, I'd rather go to Orlando than Mobile. So that's kind of why I have to just say that. That's kind of why I would hope they go to the Cure Bowl.
Yeah, I think most fans would like the opportunity to go do that on a Saturday, maybe hit Disney World on a Sunday. I think people would prefer to do Orlando.
Now we're talking. All right. So, Greg, I said to start the show that Saturday is kind of a special anniversary for Georgia Southern. And it is because on November 24th, 2001, that's 17 years to the day, come Saturday, Adrian Peterson broke the NCAA's all-time regular season career rushing yards record with a 96-yard performance against Wofford and the Terriers. AP still holds that record with 6,559 career rushing yards, which is an outrageous number. Four-time All-American. Obviously, you guys know the accolades that Adrian Peterson racked up, and deservedly so. But if you're traveling to Atlanta on Saturday this weekend, or if you're watching the game, kind of take a moment to, I think, remember that game. And anyone that doesn't know about that Adrian Peterson, maybe Saturday is a good time to pull up those YouTube videos and check them out. And also, you can go back and listen to an Adrian Peterson interview on Georgia Southern Extra earlier in the year. I believe it was South Alabama week. So important anniversary for Georgia Southern and the program, and an important day to close out what has definitely been an important season for Georgia Southern. Greg, anything else you want to let the folks know before we head on out?
I'm just excited that Southern's got a chance to close this season on two important bounce back wins. And I think they will win this game on Saturday. I think our predictions are pretty close. I think it's pretty funny that we split the difference against the line. I'll be interested to see what the final is.
Yeah, I'm interested in it too. And next week, Greg, we'll have to go back and revisit our predictions for the season. I've kind of forgotten over time what exactly I picked, but I'm sure the producer Zach can pull up some predictions where we went wrong and maybe some things, hopefully, where we went right. While you guys are waiting for the Georgia State game, appreciate you listening to this podcast. Please rate and subscribe it wherever you listen to podcasts, or log online to savannahnow.com/podcast to look at the archives of the podcast and listen to old episodes. Log on to savannahnow.com/sports for my coverage of Georgia Southern athletics. Basketball team keeps rolling after winning in the Bahamas. They're 4-0 or 5-0 if you count the first exhibition game. So lots of stuff on them, lots of stuff on the Georgia Southern football team, including a notebook from this week. And then make sure you tweet at Jadon Sports with comments, questions. As always, send complaints to Greg Talbot on Twitter. And during Saturday's game, if something comes up that you think needs to be talked about, or a question or a concern you have, tweet it at me before you forget, and we'll make sure to bring it up in the next episode. All right, guys. Hopefully we're talking to you this time next week with a 9-win Georgia Southern team. We appreciate you guys listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.